This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December the 18th, 2008. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, December 19th, 2008. Mr. Vice Chair, I understand we have correction and approval of minutes for the first item on the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I do. I move approval of agenda document 0847, which are the minutes for the December 4th, 2008 open meeting.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, report of the Audit Division on Karen Carter for Congress. I understand we have some additional language, some amendments to address some of the concerns that some of us had.
Good morning and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am prepared to present the report of the Audit Division on the Karen Carter for Congress Committee, if necessary. Based on conversation with staff and the Office of General Counsel, page 4 of the report, footnote 2, will be changed as described in the errata memo. In addition, we propose to change the title of Finding 1 to receipt of contributions from LLPs, LLCs, and corporations. I am prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Just to clarify, the change on the heading, it originally said prohibited contributions, but it turns out they didn't have prohibited contributions in that part, so it made sense to not sort of label it as prohibited and just make it the more neutral language of just receipt. I don't think there's going to be much discussion, but any discussion on this? Okay. I think we need a motion to adopt the audit report with the additional, with the amended language.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve agenda document number 08-51, subject to the amendment proposed at the table.
Hang on. 08-50.
Oh, excuse me.
Yep. 51 is the next audit. 50. Sorry. That motion clear for everyone? What we're voting on? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed. That passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item, another audit, which is agenda document number 08-51. Same basic idea. Are you on this one as well, Alex?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Before you is the report of the Audit Division on the Texans for Henry Cuellar congressional campaign. Based on discussions with staff in the Office of General Counsel, footnote 4 at page 7 will be revised as presented in our errata memo. In addition, we propose that appropriate wording be added to the report to note that all requested refunds have been documented. Might I suggest wording such as, subsequent to the final audit report's submission to the Commission, THC submitted copies of negotiated refund checks and bank statements to document that requested refunds had been made. I'm prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. If there's discussion on that, I think we need a motion to adopt the audit report as amended per the per his suggestion.
Yes, I would therefore move that that we adopt agenda document number 08-51, subject to the amendment discussed.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed. Passes 6-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next item, draft advisory opinion 2008-17.
Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of Agenda Document 0843-A, the draft advisory opinion, responding to the request by the Missourian for kit bond and kit pack labeled Draft C.
Without objection, so ordered.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. There are three draft opinions before you that respond to a request submitted on behalf of Missourians for Kit Bond and Kit Pack. Missourians for Kit Bond is the principal campaign committee of Senator Christopher Kit Bond. Kit Pack is a non-connected multi-candidate committee associated with Senator Bond. As you know, Senator Bond is co-authoring a book, and Missourians for Kit Bond and Kit Pack wish to know if they may pay Senator Bond's co-author $25,000 to compensate him for his expenses, time, and effort spent on the book. All three drafts conclude that Missourians for Kit Bond may not pay any money to the co-author because such payments would be a personal use of campaign funds. Draft A concludes that Kit Pack may pay no more than $5,000 to Senator Bond's co-author because any amount paid to the co-author would be considered a contribution to Missourians for Kit Bond. Draft B and new draft C conclude that Kit Pack may pay the full $25,000 because the amount would not be considered a contribution to Missourians for Kit Bond. The Commission has received no additional comments on drafts A and B and no comment on draft C. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move approval of draft A that was submitted at the very outset. A couple of comments I'd like to make and then get outvoted. The agreement that I just saw a couple days ago made it clear that in the first agreement that was entered into with Simon and Schuster, there was an advance that was paid of $60,000, and each of the two authors, Kit Bond and the author, who's undisclosed to us, are jointly and severally liable for the advance as well as any of their obligations. So they both received the advance and it's unpaid. They both have a joint and several obligation to each other at this time. It also provides that if one pays the amount, there's a duty to reimburse the other. So that there's a parity of $30,000 that would have to be paid by each. But because there's a joint and several liability, Kit Bond and the undisclosed author both remain personally liable for that full amount. That's an important factor to me because it shows that there's a direct and continuing relationship between the two, and they both have an outstanding obligation back and forth to each other contractually. It further provides that if there is a successful publication, if Simon & Schuster declines publication, but there's a publication that does become successful, the first money goes to pay and reimburse, to pay back Simon & Schuster for that advance. So that if the second book is successful, then the money comes back, and both the author, who's undisclosed to us, and Kit Bond both have an obligation that's to be relieved by the successful publication of the second book. If the money is paid to Simon and the money is paid to the author here, it's really, in my view, to try and, could be a number of factors, but one certainly would be to have a successful publication, and that would relieve the both of those from the personal obligation that still exists between the two. And because of the closeness of that relationship, I have a hard time believing myself, that the leadership pack, which is Kit Bond's, would have made that payment irrespective of the position and the candidacy of Kit Bond. So I support draft A, and that's my position.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll support you, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Well, thank you very much.
Because draft A most closely resembles where I'd like to end up on this, although it's not quite there, but pretty close. First of all, let me say that I really appreciate Senator Bond submitting this request. We know any number of people out there, when they see an ambiguity in the law, they think, oh good, that means I can do whatever I want to. And I really appreciate that Senator Bond, saw an ambiguity and decided to ask for clarification. And, you know, to me, this indicates that he's trying to comply with the law. And I appreciate that. And I don't want, I wouldn't want anything that I say at the table to be construed as in any way a slam on Senator Bond, because I really do think he's trying to do the right thing here, just trying to figure out what it is. I have a long history with personal use, going back to 1990 when I started at the House Ethics Committee. So I've been dealing with this provision of the law for longer than most, maybe not all the people at the table, but, you know, not sure about the chairman, but I'm...
Well, that's longer than me. That's longer than before my day started.
Before your days. Well, I am a little older than you are. So I've been... Personal use issues are near and dear to my heart. I've been dealing with them for a long, long time, and I've always taken a very hard line on them. When we had the, is it the Hayward AO? The commission decided that, in that case, the candidate wanted to put up a link on his campaign website that would allow people to buy his book, and the consensus of the commission was that, well, it was de minimis, so it was okay. But even though it was de minimis, I couldn't support that result because, as I said, I take a pretty hard line on personal use issues. And I know that a lot of people read the statute, read 439A, and say it only applies to candidate committees, and therefore it doesn't apply to anything other than candidate committees. And when you look at leadership PACs in terms of their statutory framework, there really isn't much there. Leadership PACs are not a creation of the statute. There's practically nothing in the statute about leadership PACs. And there was nothing in the statute about leadership PACs until Hologa very recently, and that was only to say that, and we'll get to that later, that contributions that are bundled by lobbyists for leadership PACs should be included in that reporting regime. So the statute is largely silent about restrictions on leadership PACs. And given that silence, I can't quite get myself to the point to support a position that would allow a leadership PAC to pay for any expenses that would be deemed a personal use if it were paid for by the principal campaign committee of the candidate. And I appreciate that there have been obviously several drafts and several, you know, and there have been attempts, which I very much appreciate, by my colleagues to try and cabin in what the opinion will say to make sure that it doesn't go too far. But I don't think I'm going to be able to support the compromise, although I think that, you know, reasonable people can disagree on this, and I understand how my colleagues get to the legal position that they get to, and, you know, I think it's a reasonable interpretation of the law. It's just not my interpretation of the law. So I'll hang in there with you, Mr. Vice Chairman, although I know we're going to be outvoted, and that's why.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm prepared to vote for draft C. The reason for this is I think this draft reaches the reasonable conclusion that the Senator Bond's campaign committee may not make a payment to the book's co-author for that co-author's efforts in preparing the manuscript for the second publication, but that his leadership PAC may make such payment. And this is because the leadership PAC has an independent basis separate and apart from Senator Bond's candidacy for its interest in having the book published. As the Vice Chairman pointed out, there was this, there was a collaboration agreement, but counsel to the requester has indicated that was with respect to when it was first, there were two different publishers who expressed interest in this book. The first publisher ended up passing on publishing it, and so it was then submitted to a second publisher. Counsel has indicated to us that that agreement referenced by the Vice Chairman only referred to the first publishing agreement, and that the collaboration agreement does not address royalties for any future publishing agreement, and that counsel has assured us that any future publishing agreement will provide that all royalties go to the co-author. So as with advisory opinions, we take the representation of counsel at their word, and we have language at the back of our drafts that says that if the facts are not as represented, then the protection afforded by an advisory opinion is not given. We take the requester at the requester at their word, and I believe that the result that we are reaching is consistent with the statute and commission rules and commission precedent. I certainly respect my colleague's disagreement, and we've had discussions about this, and I think that these are definitely good faith disagreements where I think I certainly respect their positions, and I think that they're well-reasoned. However, on this one, I disagree, and so for that reason, I'm going to be supporting draft C.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be supporting draft C, but this is a very close call for me. I think that, as Commissioner Weintraub pointed out, many leadership PACs, and I think perhaps this one, can be viewed as the alter ego of their founders. And so obviously they are interested in the activities of their founders, and this book being written by Senator Bond is certainly seems to fall into that case for me. I think draft C represents a reasonable balance between the law's relative silence, and I think some of us might like to see some additional guidance in this area, because I do think it's unfortunately not an area where there is a lot of guidance. But there is this, there is obviously a relationship between the member in this case and a leadership PAC. And when the commission adopted its final rules in 2003, it took the position that leadership PACs aren't presumed to be affiliated, and yet we know that they are in some ways associated. So in light of that fact, and we have to consider whether Kit PAC would make the payments to Senator Bond's co-author at even absent the setup of his candidate. And as I said, to me this is a very close call. Kit PAC tells us in its request that its interest would exist absent Senator Bond's candidacy, and I do think it's important. All we really can go on is the requester's comments in its request and in its response to our counsel. But the AOs are therefore limited to those representations, and I appreciate the Vice Chair's discussion of the documents we've recently seen, and I share his concern that there appears to be some personal obligation created by that first agreement. However, counsel has told us that that is no longer an operative agreement, and that there is no personal obligation in this case from between Senator Bond and the co-author. And for me, that is an important fact. And if that were not the case, I would not be able to support this draft. So I think while we can't ignore the fact that Kit PAC exists to advance Senator Bond's policy goals and thereby his political aspirations, all of which are intertwined with his status as a candidate, this draft, premised on the representation by the requester that there is no personal obligation that is being relieved by the payment of these funds, allows me to support draft C. Leadership PACs play an important role in advancing public policy platforms, but again, I don't believe we can ignore the fact that they are, in the case where they're founded by a member of Congress or someone who is seeking to become a member of Congress, they are certainly interested in the candidacy of that particular member. So I will support draft C, and I want to thank the work of our policy staff, particularly Mr. Buckley in this matter. We've gone several rounds. I also want to thank the hard work of several executive assistants for commissioners. I don't think we would be here without the continuing dialogue between John Burrowman and Eric Hallstrom, who spent long hours discussing this and helping us craft language that we could all be comfortable with. So thank you.
I'd like to make one correction, if I may. In the agreement itself, there's two compensation allocations, and I ask for the record that this be made part of our public record, too, this agreement. And I understand that from the Office of General Counsel that the requester does not object to this so long as the author is not disclosed in the agreement, which the copy I have shows that it's been deleted. So I would request that the agreement be made part of the records for clarification. But in any event, it does say that with respect to the advances, which I understand to have been a $60,000 advance, 66% would go to the author, and the remaining 34% would go to Bond, and that would be the obligation back. That would be the way they would be reimbursed, and that is the obligation which would have to be paid no matter what, even if it's not published, it needs to be returned to Simon & Schuster in that proration. So there's a 50-50 sharing with respect to royalties, but the agreement also provides that if they do publish it through another publisher, then the money that they first get has to come back to reimburse the first publisher. So when I said 50-50 before, it's really 66-34.
Any other discussion? Did you move a vote on the draft you support?
Yeah, I moved to support draft.
Okay, so that was discussion on your motion. Okay. So on the motion to adopt draft A, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No. That fails. 2-4, the two being the vice chair and Commissioner Weintraub in favor. The remainder were opposed.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve draft C, which is agenda document 08-43-A.
Thank you. Any discussion on that motion that we haven't already had on the prior motion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
That carries 4-2. Same basic vote, just flipped. Okay, next item. Thank you, Ms. Buckley. Next item is the draft final rules for the repeal of the Millionaire's Amendment regulations. Aftermath of FEC versus Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda document 0849 has been submitted late.
Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda document 0849, which is the draft final rules repealing the Millionaire's Amendment.
Thank you. Without objection. So ordered.
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Agenda document 0849 presents draft final rules and explanation and justification that would implement the Supreme Court's decision in Davis v. Federal Election Commission. In Davis, the Supreme Court held that the House Millionaire's Amendment provision of the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act was unconstitutional on First Amendment grounds. In a press release dated July 25, 2008, the Commission announced that the Davis decision precluded the enforcement of the House provision and effectively precluded the enforcement of the Senate provision. The Commission published a notice of proposed rulemaking on October 20, 2008, in which it sought comment on the proposed rule implementing the Davis decision. The Commission received four comments. The draft final rules before you made no changes to the proposed rules in the MPRM. To comply with the Davis decision, the draft final rules would delete the Commission's regulations in 11 CFR Part 400, which contains the bulk of the Millionaire's Amendment regulatory provisions. The draft final rules would also revise or delete several other regulations outside of Part 400 to conform them to the Davis decision, and it would retain others that were not affected by that decision. Finally, the draft final rules make several technical and conforming amendments. I'll be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Do we get any comments on it?
Four comments.
Four. Okay. So someone noticed. Any discussion? Mr. Weintraub.
Just want to note that I believe this is Mr. Stepanovic's first regulatory project for us, and obviously he did a sensational job. I'm expecting a unanimous vote of support.
Thank you.
And I'd be happy to move approval at the appropriate time. I don't want to cut off discussion. But.
Thank you.
Just thank you to Rosie Smith, Bob Knopp, and Nevin Stepanovic for doing a very quick job on this. We appreciate the speed at which you were able to get this accomplished. Thank you.
I think we all echo the thanks to the Office of General Counsel, broadly defined, particularly those who worry about regulations. No more discussion. Maybe we have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of agenda document 08-49.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All opposed? That passes 6-0. When I heard there were conforming amendments and we're changing regs, I was tempted to offer some amendments and see if there's any takers on 100.22B or something, but but I figured that not everyone would laugh, although Paul Ryan is smiling in the back. Yes, that was for you, Paul. Okay. Next up, draft final rules, we call it the bundling rules, reporting contributions bundled by lobbyists, registrants, and the PACs of lobbyists and registrants. We need to develop an acronym for this one so we can be officially official.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda document 08-48, the draft final rules on reporting contributions bundled by lobbyists, registrants, and PACs of lobbyists and registrants.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, good morning to you. The draft final rules and agenda document 0848 would implement Section 204 of the Honest Leadership and Open Government Act of 2007. The final rules would require authorized committees, leadership PACs, and political committees of political parties to disclose certain information about lobbyists and registrants and political committees established or controlled by lobbyists and registrants that provide bundled contributions aggregating in excess of a certain amount during a covered period of time. The Commission published a notice of proposed rulemaking on this issue in November of 2007 and held a public hearing in September of 2008. We had 8 comments from 12 commenters on the NPRM, and we had 6 witnesses testify at the hearing. The explanation and justification for this rule is being drafted and will be considered by the Commission separately at a later date. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Before we get to discussion, the good news is we have a draft rule. The semi-not-so-good news is we don't, because you can't really write the explanation and justification for the rule until you decide what the rule is. We don't have the E&J today, but having spoken with the vice chair, I think we are prepared to commit to having it no later than, and we haven't adopted the calendar for next year, but assuming that goes through without a hitch, the open meeting that we assume is going to be scheduled January 15th, which is the second open meeting. We may have it for the first open meeting, but we want to at least let the public know that there's going to be a date certain where there's going to be an E&J, so that folks can anticipate when this train will leave the station. But with that, discussion, comments, thoughts, there probably will be some. Mr. Weintraub,
take it away. You knew I'd have something
to
say about
it. It wouldn't be a meeting without.
Well, certainly not on bundling, because I love to talk about bundling disclosure, which is a good thing, because boy, have we been talking a lot about bundling disclosure over the last few months, and particularly over the last few days. The chairman really thought it was important that we at least get this rule done this year, and having that deadline, that really focuses one's attention.
In our first substantive meeting, I don't count the meeting where we did the gala, but the first real open meeting, I actually said we're going to do it by the end of the year.
And there you go.
And there we go.
And here we are.
Promises made, promises kept.
I've heard that before.
We can believe in?
Yes, that too. We believe in all that stuff. Yeah. I really, really want to thank everyone, all the commissioners, all the EAs, Tommy, Rosie, Cheryl, Amy, Esther, Dwayne, Greg Scott. We had a lot of people who worked really, really hard on this, and particularly Commissioner Hunter and her EAs, Eric Wang and Eric Brown, worked really, really hard on this, and I very much appreciate it. You know, you might think short statute, an even shorter section by section analysis, it's 12-page regulation, how hard could it be? It could be hard. It was complicated by the fact that the commissioners who voted out the NPRM are not the same commissioners that were here at the table, although I'm delighted to see former Commissioner Toner in the audience. Couldn't resist. Had to come back for it. That's great. And it's almost like old homework here. And we've also got Melissa Lorenza and Mike Bays and Peg Pearl. All sorts of old friends came back to see this one. So that, I mean, that makes it harder. That's more complicated. And people had strong views on this, and I know that nobody thinks that this is a perfect rule, and nobody got everything they wanted. And people, I think everyone at the table had moments where they had to kind of swallow hard and say, okay, for the sake of compromise, I'm going to accept something that, or give up on something that I otherwise would really prefer to see either in or out of the rule. And I think people worked very, very hard to get to a compromise, and I just can't say enough good things about it. And I also want to thank the commenters, and I know some of them came back to watch today. And we really did listen and were informed by the comments, both the written comments and the testimony at the hearing. And I think that if you read the documents, you'll see that we were informed by what you had to say. For the commenter who thought that we should defer to committees about how to credit, that they know, in the colorful phrase of one of our commenters, who's got the juice, and that's the real thing that we ought to get on the public record. We heard that, and it's reflected in the rule. For the commenters who thought that recognition can take many forms and it's not always going to be in writing, we heard that, and it's in the rule. For the commenters who wanted a clear path not only to compliance but to demonstrating compliance, we heard that, and it's in the rule. And for the commenters who thought that filing every month for people who normally file monthly reports would be onerous and would make compliance more difficult and they'd rather file quarterly, we heard that, and that's in the rule. And there are a lot of things in this rule that reflect the comments and the concerns of the commenters and the commissioners. And like I said, nobody got everything they wanted out of this rule, but I think a lot of people got the things that were most important to them. And I think that's the sign of a good compromise. And I am optimistic that this rule is going to pass unanimously, which was also important to me to find a compromise that all of us could support. I'm just delighted. I think, you know, it's not, like I said, it's not the perfect rule from my perspective either. I mean, I would like to have bundling disclosure for all bundlers above a certain threshold. And I think that we have the statutory authority to do that through our regulations if we wanted to attack our conduit regulations, but that's not what we're here to do today. And that isn't the task that we set before us when we put out the NPRM. So, as I said, I don't think it makes anybody perfectly happy, but I think it's a very decent and fair job, and I'm proud of it, and I'm proud of all the hard work that everybody did to get us here. And I would be delighted at the appropriate time to move approval, or I would be delighted to yield to Commissioner Hunter if she wants the privilege of moving approval.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I echo Commissioner Weintraub's comments on the fact that this was a collaborative effort right from the beginning. We did work very hard together, and so thank you to Commissioner Weintraub, who serves with me on the Regulations Committee, and the other commissioners as well for their hard work on this. To OGC, Tommy, Rosie, Amy, Cheryl, and Esther, who's relatively new to the team, we really appreciate all your hard work. You were very useful, very helpful to us in a lot of the drafting that we proposed, and we very much appreciate it. A special thanks also, I have to say, to Eric Brown and Eric Wang, who work with me. They were very helpful and kept track of all of the changes throughout the way. You can tell how long and how tight the deadline was because the document is stamped 9:59 a.m. today for a meeting that was scheduled to begin at 10. So we were, in fact, working on this right up until about 9:50 this morning, and I do agree that this draft is, you know, one that we can be proud of. It does represent a compromise, and I think I'm too proud to vote for it. Thank you very much.
Other comments? Mr. Vice Chair.
Now, just as one that wasn't on the Regs Committee, I'd really like to congratulate the, both Carolyn and Ellen for the work they did, because they did work on this for quite some time, and it was painstaking, I know, from both sides and for all of us, because there were very strong philosophical views. As Commissioner Weintraub said, we looked back to the record, we looked at the comments, we would argue over some of the sentences that were in the comments, we looked at the section-by-section analysis, we took the letters, you know, we went to the transcript, and really had a great, healthy debate. And like in the practice of law, we used to say, you know, if you have a settlement agreement and nobody's all that happy, it probably is a pretty good settlement agreement. And in this particular case, I know we felt that, you know, each of the people that, and the kind of factions that had strong philosophical views felt we left some pretty important phrases on the table, but it was more important to take into consideration the views of everybody and to coalesce behind I consider it to be a very fair and comprehensive, and as Commissioner Weintraub said, taking important factors into consideration. So I'm proud to vote for it. Certainly wouldn't be, you know, the way we would draft it if we were starting out from A, but I think it'll get the job done, and it's a good sense of our collective view.
Mr. Beverly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to support this regulation, and even happier that we managed to get it done at 9:59. And thank you so much to the staff. The Secretary's office obviously had to produce this on very short notice, and all of their work. The policy staff who worked on this, Ms. Smith, Ms. Hayden, Ms. Rothstein, and I think especially Ms. Helmsley, who probably spent many of her waking hours for longer than I can imagine, I think before some of us were even here, on this project. So thank you so much for your long hours, late nights, early mornings. And to Commissioners Weintraub and Hunter, this was a remarkable demonstration of shuttle diplomacy, and I think it was. I think the result is an excellent compromise. It is a compromise, as Commissioner Weintraub suggested, and I think Commissioner Hunter did as well. This is not the draft that any one of us would have written were we writing on our own, but I believe it's a workable compromise that provides both the public with the access to information about contributions bundled by lobbyists, which was the goal of this law, and importantly, clear guidance for the regulated community, because we have to provide that guidance if people are to comply to further the goals of disclosure that are underlying the statute. So it's not a simple task to accomplish both of these, but I think this regulation does that, so I'll be happy to vote for it.
Chair Peterson.
I too want to commend Commissioners Hunter and Commissioner Weintraub for the stellar effort that they put in on this. This was a long time coming. For a reg is a relatively slender document. The amount of blood, sweat, and tears that went into this was extensive. But I think that notwithstanding the literally right to the last minute effort that went into crafting this document, I think that their commitment to getting us to a final product was what enabled us to have this before us here today to vote on it. These sorts of things can sometimes be subject to paralysis by analysis, in that we can you can sit there and just decide that you're going to fly spec it until nothing ever gets done. And they always made sure that the ball was moving down the field. And so I commend them. I commend their EAs. I also want to publicly thank my chief counsel, John Barrowman, for his efforts that he put in on this as well. They were extremely helpful. And what has been said is all true, that no one gets everything, but I think that at the end of the day, this is a very workable compromise, one that I wholeheartedly support, and for that reason, I'm proud to say that I will be voting for approval.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Well, one more quick comment on the this is a slender document when you look at it and you think of the implications of it, but we have made a commitment that we would, as the chairman was wise enough to make a commitment to complete the rulemaking this year, we will commit to completing the E&J by at least the 15th of January. And the deadlines are good for everyone, certainly us, and that's what we will do. But that did remind me that we should let you know now that we have 50 pages of a draft available for our review as of last night to begin looking at. And Ms. Rothstein, I know, has worked tirelessly, and others in the office, to have us to have it ready for us should we reach final agreement. And because we actually were the ink's still a little bit dry here, we're not able to finalize it. But thanks to her and everyone's efforts on this, it's been we're ready to really look at 50 pages of E&J so that we should be able to meet that deadline.
Thanks. I don't really have too much to add other than to echo the thanks to everyone involved, particularly Commissioners Hunter and Weintraub. We try to do regs, a kind of subcommittee, so there's a few people who really know it inside and out, that worked here because it's produced a product that I think is certainly not what I would write if left to my own devices, but certainly was done with an eye to what the statutory language says, what the intent of those who sponsored that statute says, and also with, as Commissioner Weintraub said, to what the commenters said. I found the comments to be particularly helpful, particularly the testimony. I thought it was very good because folks were prepared and some were more fired up than others, particularly the second panel. It's one of these things that for me is the first time I've been involved in a rulemaking on this side. I've been involved in several sitting down there, and writing comments and coming in and blasting away is not so hard, really. Actually trying to put it all together becomes much more of a challenge, and I want to thank everyone who put this together. Important to me as chair to be able to say at the beginning we were going to do certain things, and I think this was one of them that of all the rules, this was the one I think we needed to move, because this was something that potentially should have been on the books long ago, but for many events out of the control of many. It made sense to get this done. There's really no way to get this done to go into effect for the recently completed election cycle, but it does make sense to have something on paper going forward so people know what's coming for the next cycle. So I think we got this done as soon as we could, and it really is a testament to the entire commission and everyone who works here. I could thank the Academy and my manager and go through the whole list, but that's already been done. And I could talk about the rule itself, but I don't want to really do that, because given that we have the ENJ coming, I don't think it's fair for me to kind of throw my version on it. I don't want to inadvertently shade something one way or another. Terms we think are defined in here as to what you actually have to do. I think if you're a treasurer, which to me is a concern, treasurer filing a report, you're going to pretty much know what to do, we hope. And what's tough about these rules is you can't call up who I used to call up and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Because that would now be ex parte. We have to wait, read the comments, and then we kind of go into this bubble doing this sort of thing. And we can only talk to ourselves at that point, ourselves meaning each other, not actually ourselves, at least not out loud anymore. that's what the vice chair told me this morning. So it's not as easy as it looks, we tried to stick with the statute and the intent, but then that doesn't answer all the questions, and that's why I think the comments really helped us shade things one way or another and think through how to include some things that might otherwise get left off, yet not go and include things that is beyond the statute. I mean, the reality is the threshold's 15 grand. So there's going to be some things that are probably bundled by a lobbyist that are not, it, as Congress has said, aren't going to be worth reporting. So there is already in the statute things that are not covered. So this the rule doesn't have to cover everything and still be considered broad. But this rule, I think, covers everything the statute says we need to cover, and potentially then some. And I'll leave that for E&J discussion and others on the outside of the debate. But I appreciate everyone's work getting this done. By the end of the year, and with that, if there's any other discussion, wonderful. If not, we can probably move this along. No more discussion. Okay, all right, no more discussion. Commissioner Weintraub, we have a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to note, I appreciate what you're saying about the difference between sitting on that side of the table and sitting on this side of the table, and I couldn't help but note that when the Vice Chairman was talking about the 50-page E&J that we now have to negotiate through, that Commissioner Toner in the back row there, with whom I wrote many a regulation, was laughing because he's really glad to be on that side of the table now. But
it's actually really Melissa that's laughing. And she really had to read it first for Chairman Toner to get his job done. So.
That is true. That is true. We none of us could do our jobs without our staff. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I am proud and delighted to move approval of agenda document number 08-48 as submitted at 9:59. Did we make our deadline or what?
When you come from the world where you're used to billing time,
yeah,
that's plenty. That's
great.
That's,
you know,
plenty of time.
That proves one of my favorite adages, that if not for the last minute, nothing would ever get done.
Literally the last minute.
Literally the last minute. So I happily move approval of the document along with any technical and conforming amendments that are necessary.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Okay. And we can all go. Yeah. Next up is future meeting dates. This is the calendar for the first part of next year.
Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda document 0852, the meeting dates for the first 5 months of 2009.
Without objection, so ordered. Not the sort of agenda item we want to discuss. It's actually, though, I do want to note that there's a lot of meetings on this. The next item up is election of officers, and assuming his whip count is correct, the vice chair may or may not become chair, depending on how well he's whipped the vote. But he is planning on a rather ambitious calendar on a lot of fronts, and I think that's, I support that. I think that's good. For a lot of different reasons, I'm not going to bore everyone with all those reasons, but that's all I'm going to say about the calendar. But any discussion on the calendar? Tough to really debate a calendar, isn't it? Okay, all in favor say of the have you moved the agenda item?
I did.
You did. Okay, on the motion.
Oh no, wait a second, I didn't.
Just you moved for the late submitted document, but you didn't. Right.
We're glad to move the approval of the calendar.
Okay. Which is agenda document 0852. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. All right. Another unanimous vote for the statistics people. Next up, election of officers. Tradition is that this gets done at the last open meeting to be elect the officers for the following year. So we're doing this now. Before we do this, I'd want to just say a few words as the outgoing chair. I want to thank all my fellow commissioners, first of all, because it was not easy walking in to the building after it had essentially been in many ways shut down. Things kept moving on certain fronts, but for many things didn't. Particularly having several commissioners that I've known for quite some time in various capacities. I've known Commissioner Weintraub really only in her capacity as a commissioner, but that's been several years, at least as one can know a counsel who appears before the commission. I got to know the vice chair rather quickly. I had never met Commissioner Bowerly before until our confirmation hearing. But I've known Commissioners Peterson and Caroline Hunter for years, and it was good to have familiar faces to help me through taking over an agency that didn't have a staff director, didn't have a deputy staff director, had many, many openings, many places, and to walk in and have, you know, an agency sort of look to you and say, okay, what do we do now? And me say, let me find out. We made it through. I also want to thank the general counsel, Tommy Duncan, because really from day one, she called me even before I was here to say hi, and has been very helpful in getting not only me, but the new gang up to speed and things moving. And I really appreciate the help of you and your entire office. I also want to thank Joe Stoltz, who we called Joe in at one point and said we have some good news and some bad news. The good news is we need an acting staff director. The bad news is we'd like it to be you. Joe is getting married about a week after that, the honeymoon and that sort of thing, but still stepped up and took on a tremendous load to try to get the place moving again. And I think the whole commission certainly will echo this, but we really appreciate Joe stepping up and serving as acting staff director at a time when we were all drinking from fire hose in so many ways. Without everyone involved, nothing would have gotten done. But I think we have gotten quite a bit done. The bundling rule, I mentioned that at the first meeting, and now here it is, the last meeting, and that's a rule has been passed. I also mentioned moving advisory opinions through quicker. We've had every election-sensitive AO got done before the election. Some took a little bit longer to work out a couple details here and there, but I think folks can say that we did move some things along, particularly those that were necessary for people to get guidance. It was tough because by the time August rolled around, it was too late, and many thought to ask for AOs, but some people still did, and we moved those along. And so we have moved things along. A lot goes on here behind closed doors, and there are quite a few things that have been resolved. There's still things to go, but without getting into specifics, we actually had a substantive vote at some form or other on everything long before Thanksgiving, and actually we're circulating current matters before that. And I don't want to get into specifics on that because of what's enforcement versus what's not and all that. But for those on the outside wondering what we're doing all day, we're doing a lot all day, and I think eventually the results of that work will become apparent. But the nature of this agency is that we do quite a bit of work before it reaches the outside world, so to speak. But again, with all that, it took a lot of patience and a lot of effort for some commissioners, particularly Commissioner Weintraub and the vice chair, number of cases that were already ongoing, and they had to essentially relive numerous discussions on points that may have already been had by prior commissioners, but well, having not been here, I didn't know that. So we've had many discussions on points that they've had time and time again already, and I appreciate their patience on that. And without dragging this on anymore, let's move on to the next item, which is the election of officers. I think we have some folks who want to also make some comments, but on behalf of me and my staff, I want to thank everyone for helping me get through what was not an easy time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also would like to take the personal privilege to publicly thank Chairman McGann for the tremendous effort that he put in over the course of these last 6 months. From most chairmen throughout the history of this agency, they probably had an opportunity to kind of ease themselves into the role, to liken it to a kid learning how to ride a bike. They had a chance to have some training wheels on and drive around the driveway for a little bit. But in Don's case, the training wheels were off, and he was thrust out into freeway traffic right from the outset. And I commend him on the way he was able to navigate through that. I mean, as he mentioned, it was a unique circumstance in which the commission reconstituted itself after having been without a quorum for 6 months, and then having four brand new commissioners installed at the same time. The a 6 month backlog of enforcement actions, a number of advisory opinion requests, and many and rulemakings in the queue, and all of this in the course of an election year where record breaking amounts of money were being raised. And he was then tasked with having to be the chairman and installed in that position immediately from the time he stepped in the building. And so I I just want to thank him for what he's done. I've been able to see up close just how hard he's worked, and no one gets into the weeds more than he does. The work ethic that he's demonstrated has really been impressive to me, and sometimes astonishing to me from the moment I've stepped into this building. He's always led with wit, with erudition, and always with a flair, and I've always appreciated that, and I certainly appreciate the friendship that he's extended to me while I've been here at the commission. And so I just want to publicly commend him on a job well done, and thank him for the tremendous work that he's performed since assuming the chairmanship earlier this year.
Shucks. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I want to echo everything Commissioner Peterson said. Chairman McGann has been an excellent chairman under very difficult circumstances, and I don't think anybody else would have been able to do what he's done, and it's been in large measure because of his deep knowledge not only of the law, but of his experience from the past of dealing with the FEC, and that's something that I have never done before. So his experience with dealing with the FEC staff and Joe and others, he was able to tell us about those experiences, and it helped informed a lot of my decisions in enforcement matters and other areas. So I really appreciate his diligence and his willingness to work with all of us. He got a lot done in a short period of time, and the one good thing about his not being chairman next year is now he'll be able to focus more on some of the things that we would look forward to his focus on, like coordination regulations and a few other things that he'll be able to do when he was sort of tied up with administrative issues that I know he probably won't miss. But thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Okay, do we have a motion? Commissioner Peterson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I intend to make a motion in a moment to nominate Vice Chairman Walther to be the next chairman of the FEC. But first of all, just want to make a few comments. Vice Chairman Walther is living proof that F. Scott Fitzgerald was wrong when he said there are no second acts in American lives. He was a commissioner here in 2006 and 2007, and then was no longer here beginning at when the lights went out at the end of 2007, but waited patiently for his opportunity to have that second act, and then when all of us were installed during the summer of this past year, his second act began, and I know personally I'm grateful that was the case. He's been a great friend since I've been here at the agency. Vice Chairman Walther received his undergraduate degree from the University of Notre Dame and his law degree from Bolt Hall at Cal Berkeley.
Yeah.
Two fighting Irish right here on the dais. He's had an enormously distinguished legal career. He's founded his own law firm, and when you look through his biography and see just how many different capacities in the American Bar Association, regional bar associations, and on the issues dealing with international law and human rights, it's truly astonishing the number of capacities he's served in. But perhaps most importantly, he's a fellow man of the West, hailing from the great state of Nevada, the neighboring state to my home state of Utah. So it's great to have a fellow Westerner. And so it is with great pleasure that I formally move to nominate Vice Chairman Stephen T. Walther to be the next chairman of the Federal Election Commission for the upcoming year of 2009.
Thanks. I held off mentioning the vice chair in my thank yous because I wanted to wait for him to be moved to chair, but I think he's going to be an excellent chair. I want to thank him personally for even though it's not as if he had a choice in the matter of being vice chair, but being my vice chair, it's made life exponentially easier. To run this place and to have a someone who in a lot of ways comes from a similar background. Steve ran his own law firm, private practitioner for years, we went to the same college. We're not there at the same time, obviously.
Why is it so obvious?
did you hear something? I thought I heard something.
Because his hair is longer than yours.
That's right. That's right.
Well, in the 60s, it was long, and not mine, but a lot of people.
Of course not. But mine is now, and I'm the Republican, right? So have times have changed.
because it's change you can believe in. Thumbs up from Commissioner Weintraub on the change you can believe in. But I want to personally thank Steve for being vice chair, and also want to thank Steve's staff, particularly Brad Deutsch and Tom Anderson and Stacy Shin, but particularly Brad. Brad was in the Office of General Counsel for a long, long time, and has now worked for Steve, and has been an invaluable resource institutionally, and sometimes in a way that it put me back on the track when I have a certain tendency maybe to veer a certain way. And Brad, Brad early on figured out a way to keep the train moving in a way, and I want to thank Brad for that. I of course don't think I veer. I think everyone else just is on the wrong road. It's all a matter of perspective. But thank you very much, and I certainly am going to support you for chair, and I hope you whip the vote, because I don't want this to deadlock. Because we want to make sure we get this done, because that would be awkward if we didn't. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstained.
Okay. We'll say it passed 6-0, just for the sake of argument, even though you didn't want to vote for yourself, because second grade student body president, you weren't allowed to vote for yourself in school or something.
That's true.
We had that rule.
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey, yeah, right. I'm not a man of the West in any way, shape, or form. We have another motion, the vice chair. Commissioner Bowerly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will, in a moment, nominate my colleague, Mr. Peterson, to be vice chair of this agency, and I'm very pleased to do so. I had the pleasure of working with Commissioner Peterson in our previous work at the Senate and over the last several months on a variety of administrative and substantive matters here at the Commission. And it's just a delight to work with him, and I'm pleased that he will be serving as our vice chair next year. From 2005 until his appointment to the Commission, Commissioner Peterson served as Republican Chief Counsel to the United States Committee on Rules and Administration, providing counsel to the ranking member on campaign finance and election administration laws. No one would accuse the Senate of having simple rules of procedure, particularly on the floor, and Commissioner Peterson's experience navigating those rules has already paid dividends, as we frequently look to him during our meetings to make long and sometimes complicated motions for us. Prior to serving in the Senate, Commissioner Peterson served in the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on House Administration, and during his tenure there, he was extensively involved in crafting HAVA, the Help America Vote Act of 2002. I also worked on that conference committee in very late hours and long, long days completing that package. And prior to that, from 1999 to 2002, Commissioner Peterson specialized in election and campaign finance law at the law firm of Wiley Ryan here in Washington, D.C. He received his JD from the University of Virginia Law School, where he was a member of the Virginia Law Review, and graduated magna cum laude from Brigham Young. And I note that his degree was in philosophy, which no doubt he brings to bear as we discuss the many lofty issues of campaign finance law, such as what is the true meaning of campaign finance, and if a contribution is made in the forest, is it reportable? So I
would say no.
I'm shocked. So I am pleased to nominate my colleague, Commissioner Peterson, and look forward to serving with him at least until one of his children acquires that professional sports contract, which I think is soon. I so move, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I just want to say I've known Matt for years. I think I met him first when he was at Wiley Ryan, probably in one of these many meetings that we have after the election on recounts or whatnot, and then got to know him more when he went over to House Admin. The fact that he says many nice things about me, having known me probably close to 10 years, is very kind, because he's probably seen me at my best and also at my worst. So I appreciate. And I think his help in getting me through it, and I think he's going to make an excellent vice chair, particularly having navigated the fickle waters of Capitol Hill in both chambers,
as Commissioner Marley noted, someone who thinks procedurally is always an asset to any place that has to worry about procedure, and I think Matt is well suited to help us get through next year. With that, we have a motion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Final item, management. Yes. Sure.
I just want to thank the commission for their vote. And, you know, I thought I might have to campaign for it. And I don't know how much money I'd have to lay out, but in any event, thank you very much. I'm very proud to be elected, and I will make it short. And it's another time to talk about it, but it's a great honor to be elected to this position, and I want to first start with saying I believe in this agency. I believe in the work that it does. From day one, when I was the first commissioner some time ago, notwithstanding my unfortunate interlude, I found wonderful staff here who are loyal and hardworking, and people that have been here with a tremendous amount of institutional memory, Joe being one of the foremost, of course. But and people staying here for years because they love the agency and the work, and it's really a privilege to be able to be chair of an agency with staff like this and doing the work it does. I also want to say it's going to be a pleasure to work with the commissioners here. I mean, we've been, when I walked in the door first, I didn't know most of the commissioners the first time, and I walked in the door the second time, I still didn't know most of the commissioners. So I'm getting my second shot at that, and it's been a wonderful experience so far. And everyone here has really done a lot to try and get through some tough decisions, and we've had some tough ones right off the bat before we ever had a really working relationship. And we've been able to accomplish that with a great deal of civility and good hard work and a good feeling with the job we were able to accomplish. So I know we'll be able to do that next year, and I need it and look forward to it. Regarding the chairman, my old colleague from Notre Dame, okay, so he's figures after me. But I first met him very briefly, I guess, when he was being considered, when I was first being considered, and he was needed elsewhere, and now he's back. But there's never been a time in this history when, first of all, there's been a six-month dormancy, which put us in total paralysis and resulted in a terrific backlog in one of the most important election year we've had. And a time previously to this, except for possibly inception of the commission, where there's been five people appointed to the commission, just like that, four of whom were brand new. And we had the benefit of a Commissioner Weintraub, who we needed very much, I think, for how to get the job done. And then to walk in the first day of being sworn in and to be the chairman under those circumstances with the responsibilities we had going forward for the balance of the year, that's also was unprecedented. And in addition, of course, like most people who are suddenly thrust into positions of responsibility, there's a lot of advice that's given, not all of which is uniform. And you have to try and figure out what the priorities are and who to listen to and who to also listen to, but to try and figure out really what kind of path to take and how to herd these cats through the system. And I really want to congratulate him on the job that was done. We've got bundling done. We did our AOs on time. We had some difficult decisions to make along the way on backlogs that were took a lot of time. We examined some new areas of the law, which resulted in a lot of debate over how everybody felt about them going forward, which were necessary, sometimes painstaking. But I want to thank the chairman who led us through a lot of that through their own views. And so I just want to congratulate you for a job very well done, and also thank you for collegiality all the way through. And I know we all really appreciate that. I look forward to working with Matt. He'll be a great vice chairman. And it's just going to be, I'm looking forward to it. The agenda is very ambitious, just because we have so much left to do. And we still have some important rulemaking on, our E&J for bundling, our E&J for travel,
Our coordination roles, just to say a few, along with a number of other things. We have the most, I think, broad-ranging hearing coming up that we've had on how to improve the way we do business in January. The one that was held last, and maybe the only one to my knowledge before that, was the one in 2003 that Commissioner Weintraub chaired. So here we are taking a good hard look at how we're going to do business, and hopefully we'll have some suggestions coming out of that that will cause us to rethink that, and that'll take some time and a lot of effort, too, out of the usual course of business. So with that, thank you very much, and appreciate the time.
Appreciate the kind words. I also want to really give a lot of credit to Jill Moshak, who's on my staff, who was here when I got here, and really has helped make the trains run on time. And without her, it really wouldn't. It really would. We'd still be at the first meeting, I think, and I'd still be up here wondering what to do next. And she's been helpful, I think, to everyone to move things along. And it's not easy. And sometimes you have to push people a certain way, and sometimes you have to not push and let them get there on their own. And Jill's been very good at doing that. So Jill, thank you very much. With that, do we have any? Yes.
One more point of personal privilege.
Okay, sure.
Sorry, I know people are tired of all this yakking, but
we got bundling now. We don't know what to do with ourselves.
I know. Going. Well, there is that ENJ to look at, but as the only person at the table who actually has been here all year, I didn't want the year to end without thanking all the staff of the agency. I mean, we see at the table Joe and Tommy and Rosie a lot, but there's an awful lot of other people who work very hard, who hung in there during this first half of the year when we actually did keep the lights on. There wasn't a lot going on at this table, but throughout the building there was a lot of work that went on. It's been noted that this was a unbelievable year for fundraising, breaking all the records. And at the same time, our public disclosure staff, led by Patricia Young, our IT staff, led by Alec Palmer, took all of that phenomenal information, that phenomenal amount of information, and turned it around and got it up on the public record where everybody could have access to it. And we all know that because we kept reading about it in the newspapers all the time, and we read all the analysis, but all the information starts here and wouldn't go anywhere without the hard work of the people in this building. I remember in September we got one report that had disclosed $150 million worth of activities in a single month, and we had it up on the web within, I think, about 12 hours, which I know when we have international visitors come through here, they, when I said that to somebody, to a group recently, their jaws just dropped. They couldn't believe that we could do that kind of turnaround. I want to thank Greg Scott and his staff in the info division for, again, in the first half of the year when commissioners couldn't give advisory opinions and you know, people were really hamstrung if they wanted to know what the law was. Those guys were working hard to try and provide information to people, helping people comply with the law. In, again, this phenomenal fundraising year, our analysts, our RAD analysts, John Gibson and Pat Carmona and their staff work really, really hard this year. I know they had to put in a lot of hours to go through all those reports. Some of the folks that don't show up at the public sessions, but you know, we see them a lot in executive session. Anne-Marie Terzakian, our head of enforcement, just works unbelievably hard. And this year, some of her top people were out on maternity leave, and so she had to really shoulder a lot of the burden herself for a tremendous amount of work, and I am just so appreciative of it. And David Kolker, our head of litigation, who has really had a great year defending us and has had some great victories in court and is really a terrific litigator. There's no one I'd rather be represented by. I didn't really plan to do this, otherwise I would have written down everybody's names, and as a result of not having written it all down in advance, and I don't have a little directory handy, I know I have forgotten many people, but throughout this building there are, you know, 350 people who are devoted to the mission of this agency, and again, for the hard work in the beginning of the year when nobody noticed and everybody kept saying we weren't doing anything, and for the hard work at the end of the year when things got really frenzied and frenetic, I'm just incredibly appreciative, and I, as I know all of my colleagues are as well, and I wish everyone a wonderful, well-deserved holiday season.
One more quick comment. I wanted to tell something that really meant a lot to me about my staff and Brad in particular. And
When I had my dormancy, I was no longer commissioner, and so, but Brad held out hope that something would get worked out, but I had to leave to go back to Nevada. I think it was like we had a hearing on December 14th. I was leaving the 15th or 16th, and so I came down one night and I packed up everything and all my boxes and put them away, and I left one picture of my son and my wife and when I got sworn in the first time on there, just in case I was going to come back. That was the only thing left in the whole office. And so, of course, the next morning, Brad calls and said, "Geez, what have you done?" You know, he says, "It's not over yet." And I said, "Well, it probably is, but if it isn't, then we can always put it back." And so, sure enough, you know, at the end of the year came and went. But Brad was the one that kept in touch with me day in and day out on how things were. We would definitely look at the politics going on and try and analyze and predict what might happen to the commission and to the commissioners. And through that, he held my hand and kept my head high. And I'll never forget his loyalty and just conscientious attention to the hope that maybe it'll work out. And then came Stacy and Tom, and they had both have balanced out the policy and enforcement assistance that I've had. It's just been great, and I will count on them looking forward to the upcoming year with all of them. And just wanted to say how much it's meant so far to have their support and kind of how it came about. So, Brad, if things get tough, don't leave.
Or if they get tough, it's all your fault. Anything else? Any management and administrative matters?
None.
Thank you. With that, if there's nothing else for the good of the order, General Counsel, have anything? No? Okay. Meeting adjourned.